Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker from Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, I'm so excited to welcome our guest today, top realtor, broker of Smart Move Real Estate, husband and father, Brandon Reshu with an OUX, baby.
Nailed it, Jamie. It's good that you're just down the road, because if we were doing this with somebody else, that last name would have been pronounced a million different ways. Glad to be here, man.
Absolutely, baby. And good luck spelling it, but we're going to get right into it. So Brandon, man, tell us a little bit of the backstory, man. How did you get into the real estate business, and how did you find yourself over in Denham Springs near Baton Rouge? And give us a little bit of that backstory, man.
Yeah, man, we'll be glad to try and keep it as brief as possible and pertinent to our conversation. But grew up on the West Bank in New Orleans, and by chance, or really, Lord willing, my family moved out of New Orleans in 2005, right before Katrina.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, I mean, just praise God type of moment for sure. My mom is from Louisiana. I grew up in New Orleans as well. And my dad is in the Navy and moved all over. And so my dad wanted to get out of Louisiana. And so we went to Greenville, South Carolina for a year. And my mom said, she's a Louisiana girl. You know, you can't take a girl, Louisiana. So she had to go back home. And my dad just said, well, we're not going to New Orleans. And we ended up right outside in Denham Springs, right outside of Baton Rouge in Denham Springs. And that's really where this is home. Denham Springs, little suburb right outside of Baton Rouge. And I say little suburb, but I just saw this the other day, Jamie. Our high school is now the largest enrolled high school in the state of Louisiana. So Denham is a community that really starting to boom outside of Baton Rouge. And it's where I've planted some roots. It's where, you know, we go to church. It's where I met my wife. It's where we're raising our kids. We'd probably get into this more in a little bit, but where we just bought a little coffee shop in our antique village in town. And the real estate story goes, I went to Southeastern in Hammond and got my finance degree after a couple semesters at LSU, transferred to Southeastern. And I figured I was going to go into finance because my goal was just to make money. And so if I could get in the middle of two people passing money, then maybe I'd just get some of it on me, right? Like that was really my main focus. It wasn't about serving, helping people. Well, you know, a little self-centered at that point. And then I realized while I did some internships doing, I had my life insurance license and investments license, Series 6 and 63, that a big part of my job at that point was going to be life insurance, which is super important, but just not the most sexy thing to talk about and navigate people through, you know. And my dad, all the way growing up throughout high school and things like that, was a mortgage broker. And so he ran a mortgage branch here in Baton Rouge that shut down in 2008 in the middle of the crisis. I'll never forget going into his office, and I used to do his payroll, going in and saying, Dad, your account is locked. Like I could not get in to pay his people. And the day before, everything hit the fan. And so my dad still paid his people, but they locked all his accounts, shut everything down, closed the branches all across the nation the next day with all the mortgage meltdown and stuff. And so my dad went into consulting and different things like that. And then he started Smart Move Real Estate, our brokerage, in 2013. And it's right when I was graduating college, he said, Brandon, you know, I think that you ought to consider getting your real estate license. I said, well, just went to school 4 years for this. I don't know that I want to dive into this. And so anyway, I got it, got my real estate license, still doing insurance and investments, and was just got married as well at that same time. So graduated college, getting married, had my license, and had my hands in too many things. Also installing glass windows just to make ends meet. So I had a manual labor job with a bachelor's degree, doing all this different stuff. And I had my very first closing in August of 2014, the week after I got back from me and my wife's honeymoon. Worked for the next 4 months, doing all three jobs, and looked at what I made in real estate in 4 months, and looked at how much I was loving it, how much I was helping friends and family already do something that brought me so much joy and able to do that for them. And my dad kind of looked at me and said, you ready to go all in? Are you serious about this or not? And so from that point on, January 2015, went all in. It was really just me and my dad for a while. My dad's got an incredible business mind and was very excited. Like, he wanted Smart Move Real Estate because of his mortgage background. He wanted us to not just be, oh, well, just we know a little bit about the process, but he wanted us to be experts on every bit of it, which I appreciate. You know, so it was just he and I selling real estate for several years, and we started to grow it slowly. And then my dad has faced some health challenges over the last 5 or 6 years. And so he's not in the office or anything like that anymore. But I've been growing the brokerage, and now we've got 18 agents that work here, to each their own. And, you know, I've got friends with brokerages with 200 agents and some with one or two. And, you know, we're pretty exclusive. We don't just throw crap to the wall and see what sticks. We want Smart River Real Estate to mean something, you know, that agent that is here, that another agent would understand that this is what they do full time, that they're going to be treated with professionalism and kindness, and they're going to have good communication. And we want, you know, our clients to know that as well. So it's been wonderful. I'm still heavy into personal production. I sell 50, 60 houses a year, but still, in, you know, my main focus now is transitioning from that to being totally the broker and available for our agents so that we can duplicate that success for them.
Yeah, man. I love that, dude. That's so awesome. Yeah. And I love to hear what you're doing with agents, man, because you and I are doing the same thing, man. We're trying to love on agents. We're trying to help them, mm-hmm. man. People are discouraged, man. They're like on their last month, man, before they got to call it quits, man. And if you can just go all in, right? I mean, everybody's got the same story, right? I was doing this, that, and the other, and then I finally found a way to go all in, man. But it's tough to take the jump. I mean, I'm talking to agents all the time who are like, if I can just get to the end of the year, or if I can just get to the end of the month, man, I can make it. Speak to an agent that's there right now, maybe, Brandon, and that you've got your success, and maybe they're on their last month that they can be a realtor, or maybe they're looking at these fees that just came out at the end of the year, and they're saying, man, I can't even make that. So speak to that realtor who's feeling a little bit discouraged right now, man.
It's completely a mindset shift. Like, what happened for me in those first 4 months is that I would show up to the office when something was available or when I had an appointment or something to do. The shift was when my dad asked me, are you ready to go all in? Is regardless if there was something to do, regardless if there was an appointment actually scheduled, I was there. I was putting in work. I was there. And the thing that I've learned is that activity creates activity. So even if you feel like you have nothing to do, you need to do something. And I know that's the hardest thing is, okay, well, what do I do? You go to the back to the core tenets. You got to talk to people. You got to put yourself in situations with like-minded people and people who are doing better than you. And so I think that would be my biggest piece of advice is if we're putting if I hit this place, then I'll go all in. It's often that we don't ever even get to that place. You know, there is a little bit, and we wouldn't advise anybody to put their family in jeopardy and risk a lot of different things and stuff like that. But there is a point of sink or swim. There is a point of putting that faith into action and saying, hey, I got to go all in and I don't have all of it figured out along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's taking a faith jump. It's taking a jump in faith that, yeah, I can make this work. And I think that's where being surrounded by people like you, where you've done it before. And, you know, you've got the confidence because Brandon has done it before and Brandon sells 50 houses a year. So I could sell five before the end of the year.
Exactly.
And it's like the same thing, right? It just gives you confidence, but being around those people. So we were chatting about it before the podcast. Like, think about it like this. Like, when we started in real estate, I mean, I started 21 years ago. So back in those days, man, like we didn't even email wasn't even a thing, dude. Like, you know, we were faxing offers, and by the time you got it back, it looked like the size of a damn postage stamp. You know what I mean? Like, you had to get a magnifying glass out just to read what the purchase price was. And it's like, but now, man, it's like, you've got so many resources out there to be able to help you grow your business. And you got podcasts like this. You've got YouTube where you can literally get on a coach's call and watch, get some knowledge about your business. You've got all this trainings. Like, I was even listening to a session before this on ChatGPT, and they were talking about, like, you can literally ask Chat how to build a real estate business and create a business plan for me. I'm like, dude, like, the only excuse for a realtor not succeeding in our market with the current tools that we have is that they just didn't show up. And I don't know, man. It's like, I feel like that's the biggest thing, right? It's like, show up, man. Show up for yourself, show up for your business, but have a plan.
It's exactly that. It's that mental block that you're talking about, Jamie. It's like, it wasn't that you had everything figured out, because the information is available, right? It's not an issue. It's not a lack of information. It's not even a lack of resources or tools. There's somebody out there doing what you could be doing if you just applied the same thing. But the key is applying the same thing. It's the activity, it's the action that is lacking, not the information. And we were talking about it earlier that I think the issue is so many people think that they can't. And so it's self-fulfilling prophecy. They don't, right? And when they can envision that, wait, okay, like you said, brain's doing 50, so I can do 5 by the end of the year. And just seeing yourself that you can, and then that's going to give you the belief and the activity will follow it. And then you ultimately do, and then end up doing more. And so I think it's vision for your business is so, so important, because I think for far too long, you know, I've got a friend here locally in the industry and a couple others that are unbelievable on social media. You know, I'm 33 now, so I'm an older millennial. I'm not a boomer, but I have a lot of boomer tendencies. Like, I'm just social media and things like that are just not my bread and butter. And I'm not trying to emulate what they're doing on social media, because that's not me. So I think having vision for what your business looks like, what it is that you want to do, is going to allow you to innovate as opposed to emulate and do things that other people are doing that may not be for you. You need to find something that works for you and actually work it and do it.
Absolutely. And I think anything works. You know, I think that for me, I'm a kind of a call guy. I like to call, use the phone, generate business, talk to my past clients, all of those things, right? But my daughter just came into the business and she's 23 years old, and she's been able to generate crazy amount of engagement on social media. So I said, look, don't look for one home run. I said, if you're going to do social media as a part of what you're doing, you need to be doing it very consistently, and you need to be doing it with intention to generate opportunities for yourself. And then you can also layer in all the other things, the open houses, which are crushing right now. Open houses are absolutely crushing right now. You know, making phone calls and doing all the things, right? Talking to leads. Like, do everything, but don't just do it one off. And Jamie's not going to make one phone call. Brandon's not going to make one phone call that's going to change everything. It's the 1,000 phone calls that you made this year got you the 50 deals. And you and I are about the same. I've done, that's about what I do every year, is about 50-ish deals, you know, and it's not the one phone call. It takes 1,000 phone calls, but it's just a part of what we're building.
I love that you said that. Everything works if you work. You know, activity creates activity. So many of us, especially in a market or a time like this, you get stuck in a rut where you're like, I don't have anything to do. So you just do nothing, and nothing creates nothing. And so it's just getting moving, getting that activity going. And like you said, too, being around people who are doing it, people who are doing better than you. You know, I think that insecurity keeps so many people from accomplishing more is, I know that they're doing better than me, so I'm not going to bark up that tree. I'm not going to try and surround myself with them, but that's could be the thing that unlocks the potential that you need so that you can then have the belief to be able to do that. We go to a big real estate conference in Dallas every year. 2 years ago, I brought some newer agents with me. They had people from all around the country speaking. You know, in the first session, they had these small micro segments where they were speaking for 10 minutes at a time. At the end of it, I asked them, I said, so what do you guys see in common, or what do you find that was interesting about these people? I was looking for an answer, and they ended up giving it. But at first, they were just kind of like, oh, well, they were trying to be nice and kind. But essentially, they were trying to say that there wasn't anything too impressive. You know, and I think that that's the mental block that we have to overcome, is that I'm not that impressive. You know, it's not. Yeah. It's just that we work. That's the thing that separates us, is that I'm not, you know, the smartest, the best. It's just that we work. A big separator, obviously, is not just that we work, but how we work and the integrity and the care that we do it with. But work is the biggest separator, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's always hard for a part-time realtor to make it with full-time income. If you do part-time real estate, you're going to get part-time results. Mm-hmm. But if you're out here working it every single day as a job, showing up for yourself, putting in the work, holding yourself accountable, then you'll get the results the problem is it's similar to like a hamburger, right? If a hamburger like immediately threw on 300 pounds on us, we would be like, yeah, like I'm not going to eat that. But right. The problem is you can eat 300 hamburgers and still, you know, and then start gradually gaining some weight. But it's just like that in real estate, man. It's like, you know, you really have to show up for yourself and show up for yourself for a long time before you start getting the results. Exactly. And it's hard to track it, even how the opportunities come to us. But like, I loved we had chatted a little bit about the coffee shop, and I think that's such a good thing that you've done. Now you're investing in your community, but let's talk about the coffee shop and investing in your community, both from the actual investment, but also now, what does that look like to investing in your community and how are you helping out people in your community?
It was such a cool opportunity. The little coffee shop that we now own, it's been a place that my wife and I have gone for years. It's a staple here in the community. If we've been in real estate for this period of time, you sit down at a listing appointment and you're just excited to put your sign in the yard because you just know when people pass by, you're going to be like, oh, you know, Brandon got the listing, Jamie got the listing. And so initially, the owner of the real estate and the coffee business reached out to me to sell it. And so in our initial conversations, I was just really excited about putting my sign out there and being able to just be the person to help convey it to the next person. Throughout the discussion and whatnot, the biggest deal was she wanted to maintain that business that she had built and the staple that it was. And she knew that there was more potential to, and she was worried about what it would become when she sold it, you know, but she knew it was time. She was burnt out. She had been there every day for 20 years. And so when she sat down with us after multiple conversations, she said, well, what about you and Courtney? My wife's buy it. I was like, well, I have no experience with this. We run a real estate business, but a coffee business or a little cafe, we do soups and salads and sandwiches. I was like, I don't have the slightest idea. You don't want me in the kitchen cooking anything. Right? It's not what I should do. But, you know, she just said how she'd give us the playbook and allow us to take things on and go from there. And it's been 4 months now, and it has been one of the biggest blessings for us and the biggest blessing for the employees there and for the community. And it's cool to see that, like, just the core tenets of our real estate business and who we are, we apply it there by just serving people, caring for people. And like you and I talked about earlier, was just giving without looking for the return right away. Giving and sacrificing in some places where you think, I don't know if I'm going to make this money back or how I'm going to see this money back. But time and time again, and especially with just this coffee shop in a short 4 months, we've seen by giving to like our employees that we came in and, hey, we're the new owners here. And we don't know anything about coffee. We don't know anything about these things, but, you know, giving them opportunities to grow and take ownership and all those things has just grown double, triple, and like, you know, just continued to just return for us financially. And more than that, just for purpose and just for knowing the investment and seeing the investment that we made in the community has been awesome. It's been massive.
Yeah, dude, I love that, man. Because like you hear a lot of these top realtors, and actually the first realtor that was ever on our podcast, like she is super invested in our community. And she's from a town of, I don't know, 1,200 people. And it's like, it's crazy when you're from these big metros like us, like that it's like crazy to think that 1,200 people. But she sells, I don't know, 75 to 100 houses a year. Yeah. But, you know, she's texting pictures. Hey, I'm going riding this Jeep parade and I'm going, you know, pass out treats at the schools and I'm going to do all this stuff for the teachers, man. So it's like, I encourage people to like really find a way to make whatever city that you're in, make it small. If it's Houston, Texas, it'd be tough to reach all of Houston, Texas, but like, you know, make a small community in Houston or a small community in another big state. Try to find a way to be the person that is creating this legacy in their community, which what you're doing here with the coffee shop, man, is you're creating, you're extending this legacy and you're kind of keeping on building this thing, right? You and Rhett Sandusky had started a podcast called The House Dads Podcast, right? So I want to talk about that for a little bit of a second. And, you know, you and I are both fathers and, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are parents and whatnot. So we always try to juggle everything that we've got going on in our lives. I always joke about my little twin boys who are 3.5 years old and they're trying to kill me every day. And it's crazy, but it's like, you know, how do we juggle everything, right?
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about that House Dads podcast and then talk to us about how we're supposed to juggle everything. You just took on a coffee shop and you're running a brokerage. So how are you juggling everything? How are you finding ways to juggle everything that you got going on?
Man, that's a great question. And the truth is I'm not, right? Like, I can't juggle everything all the time, but I'll get into more of that in a minute. But yeah, so Rhett, one of my best friends, and he's a great realtor here in the Baton Rouge area, team leader. He had the idea, hey, we wanted to do something. We weren't sure what yet, but just to kind of combat or go against the hustle culture of just always building, 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 building. And specifically, you know, for dads or family men or just family people in general, and then neglect their family in the process. Like, what is that to just build, you know, a great business that you can pass on to your kids one day, but you don't know your kids or your kids don't know you. And so that was the focus of the House Dads podcast. And for about a year and a half, man, we went all in on it and just absolutely loved it. It was a little bit of a passion project and we knew it was for a season for us for a while and super happy with the content and the things that we put out and the interviews that we had and the people's stories that we told. The House Dads legacy still lives on. And it wasn't just for dads. It was just for people, for exactly what we talked about, especially in the real estate industry. We feel like we are always on call. Like, we always have to be available. We always have to pick up the phone right in the middle of dinner, all these different things. And a couple different things that I put into place practically in my business that really changed it was that if you call me and you get my voicemail, it's going to say, hey, this is Brandon Reese, you're Smart Move Real Estate. I'm so sorry that I missed your call. If you're reaching this after 5 p.m., I'm either out showing houses to my clients or I'm at home with my family spending some special time with them. So if it's an emergency, send me a text or leave me a message and I promise that you're going to get a call back from me the next day. And that, number one, just when somebody calls, knowing that they're hearing that message, they understand what I'm doing. They understand where I'm at. And it just sets the precedent for, you're always going to get a response from Brandon. I'm always going to be professional. I'm always going to get you what you need, but not everything is on fire all of the time, right? And so being able to carve out time to be where I'm at when I'm there was such a big deal for me. And that's what you said, like, how do you juggle it all? The truth is I don't, is that some seasons, some places in my life get more of me than others. You know, one of the biggest things we talked about on the House Dads stuff was that work-life balance is a myth, that you just don't have a balance. You can't give 50% of yourself at home and 50% of yourself at work because we just don't have that. And so that sometimes, like my wife and I, we had this discussion after we bought the coffee shop was, hey, if we're going to go all into this, that initial transfer is going to require a lot more of me and a lot more of her than as if we didn't do it. And so it'll probably be a little less date nights for a little while. It'll probably be longer nights of me working. And so we had to be on the same page about that, that this is what this season was going to require from us. But if we plug in here, then we know that there's going to be a time where we can, okay, this thing is running. Let's be on the same page where we can come back and we need to spin the plate that is our relationship and to continue to nurture it and grow it and all those different things. And so it's just, you know, it's setting boundaries, setting the right expectations of ourselves and to the people that are closest to us and are most important to us that I think that helps that juggling act. Cause we talk about juggling act, or another way that I think of it is like spinning plates, you know, that we all have those different things that pull on us in our life that we feel like we're over here and we spin this plate that is our real estate business. And then it's like, oh, well, the plate over here, that's like my family or friends or whatever. I don't have any time to spin that. So then we go over there and we spin that real quick. And then we go back over here and there's nothing in it. So there is a little bit of that balance that we have to make sacrifices and choices that where, hey, this season in my life where I'm plugging into business and family, that there's a few and far betweens. There's a lot less where I get to go have lunch with the boys on a Friday. That's just a sacrifice that I've got to make. And so I think that we have to understand that you can't have all of it all the time, that there are seasons, that there are cycles, and that setting the right expectations and priorities is most important.
Yeah, man, I love that. And I even love the way you said it about the restaurant and the coffee shop and all that, and just like investing in them and empowering them to succeed. And I feel like that's like also what you're doing with your brokerage too. A couple podcasts back, it's been a minute, but Chelsea Snyder was on our podcast and Chelsea and I had connected because of all of her crazy TikTok videos that she's doing and everything else. And I check in with her every once in a while and she's just loving it over there. there, both your encouragement and empowering her to create a business from TikTok and create a long-term lasting business for herself. And it's empowering our people too, right? It's not Jamie and Brandon get so much done. It's like, man, I love just like empowering our agents that we're helping and leading and saying like, hey, let me give a little bit of peace to you in this struggle that you're having and give you a little bit of advice and let you run with it, but letting them struggle and figuring it out. But I love that you took that mindset with the coffee shop, because you could have gone in there and said like, we're the new owners and we're going to do it our way. And we're going to get rid of that because that's not working and do this and all this other stuff. And the reality is, man, start with the people, man. The people that have been there for 20 years, have been there for a long time, and just invest in them and empower them to be able to succeed. I'm a big proponent, man. If anybody ever schedules anything with me, even on Zoom or in person, I have my little green therapy couch behind me right there. I always say, like, dude, like, I'm all about it. You don't ever have to be at the same brokerage as me. You don't have to be at the same company. We're here to help agents, man, and give it away. So let's talk a little bit too about, we had chatted about that too, man, just the act of just giving it away in our lives right now. And I know we're super busy, but talk about giving it away, man, and what that looks like.
Yeah, I think one of the best visual examples that I could ever think of, and my pastor did this one day, and it's not a new story or example. People have done it all the time. But if you think about all the sand that you could hold in your hand, if you have your hand clenched, right? Like it's limited, you know, like, and I think that's what we do with our resources, our time, our knowledge, our effort, our ability. We keep our hands clenched where like you could hold so much more sand with your hands open. You know, with that type of mindset, like you're able to give more with your hands out. Not everything is an interruption to you. You know, you can take time and you can invest in other people and love on other people and serve other people and not be worried about the time that you're wasting per se. And when you have your hands out like that, what I've learned is that more often than not, it comes back to me 100-fold. I mean, it's just the reason my business is what it is today is that, I mean, I can attribute so many different relationships and conversations to where I just help somebody with not a specific expectation of return. And then I watched them connect me to this person, and it ended up being one of the largest transactions that I've ever done. Or, you know, just being able to just give of myself in other situations that weren't tied to real estate at all, that ended up being the connection for me to buy this coffee shop, which is going to be a blessing for my family for years to come. And all of that different stuff of just being able to give, it shows a humility to say, I'm not worried or insecure about somebody else taking what I have, right? Because I know that there's plenty to go around, right? And it's just the whole method or the whole mindset of collaboration over competition. There is enough to go around. I've just seen too many people either burn out in this business or in life in general, because success in this business is not a ton of production, it's longevity. With that mindset of just, I'm just going to keep and I'm going to take and I'm not going to give, you just don't last. I just haven't seen it work for a long period of time.
Yeah, dude, I absolutely love that, man. And you and I are connected because of that, right? We're both giving it away and we're both doing that. And that's why I think the universe connected us in some weird way, is because we're both doing the same thing, man, just helping out agents and giving the value away. So, man, I figured we'd blow through 30 minutes. No problem, man. We just blew through 30 minutes. But I want to give you one more chance to speak to an agent right now who is feeling discouraged. They're feeling down and out. Maybe they squeaked by in 2025 and they're looking for a way to grow their business right now, and then we'll close it out. Give us one more little nugget.
We were on a panel this past week talking with some agents about similar seasons of just challenges with growth. And somebody asked a question about what was the thing that I invested in that I was the most uncomfortable with. And they meant like spent money on a new lead platform or something like that. And they were like, which one were you really uncomfortable with? And I thought about it and I was like, every single one. I was like, I hate spending money. I hate doing something new. You know, I don't like the stretching. And so I guess that would be my closing encouragement, is that whatever it is that you feel like you're like, okay, I know I need to take this step, you know, and it may not just be financial. And I think a lot of times it isn't. It's not just, oh, I need to buy the new platform or I need to spend more money on open houses or things like that. I think more often than not, it is the effort in trying something new whatever it is that you feel like you're risking by doing that, that it is uncomfortable, every single one of us, that we've come to that place of, do we make that decision or not? But, you know, growth doesn't come by doing the same thing over and over. Growth comes by change, and growth comes by trying and doing something new. So whatever it is you're on the fence about, I'd say go for it. It's going to be uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it.
I love that, dude. Take a risk, baby. Take a jump, right? Take the jump. Make the move. Take the jump. Pick up the phone. Turn the camera around. Do the video. Do all the things. Yeah. But just don't do it one time and expect to be king of the world.
100%.
If social media is your thing, make sure you're posting once a day on social media, or twice a day, whatever it is, man. If that's your thing, do it. If TikTok's your thing, do it, man. If open houses are your thing, crush it. Don't just put an open house sign out and expect people to show up and then it doesn't work. If phone calls are your thing, pick up the phone and call, but don't just call one call, man. Do you know, call, have a goal, 10 calls a day, 20 calls a day, whatever it is, man, because I guarantee you, you're going to get that one call that's going to be discouraging. And I make calls all day long, and I still go through my day, and I'll have that one call like that just gives you this super discouragement. And you're like, what? Like, literally, I called the neighborhood the other day, and I'm like just letting them know about a home that I just listed for sale. And the guy like doesn't answer the phone and texts me back like, put me on your do not call list. Right. And like, I don't live here or whatever. And like, you know, and I'm going to report you if I don't. Like, dude, I'm just trying to let you know that the neighbor's house is for sale. Yeah. Sorry, bro. Yeah. You know, that that happened. Yeah. But that's the crazy part. And that's that's the career that we're in, man. It's, and exactly, look, I don't make calls because of that one person, and I don't make calls because of that one disappointment. I make calls because the very next call was a great opportunity, and it ended up in an unbelievable opportunity for myself. Had I stopped calling when that happened, then I would not have had that next result on that next call. So I would just say, don't just make the one video. Don't just make the one call. Don't let the one discouragement hold you down. But if you're going to make it in this business, burn the damn boats, dude. There's no path back to the homeland, dude. Let's make this work no matter what. So,
Yep. Love it.
Anyway, brother, well, thank you so much, man, for what you're doing for agents. And it's been fun connecting with you. And I hope agents go out and follow what you're doing on social media. And you guys are putting out all kinds of awesome content. I encourage everybody to go follow what you guys are doing and connect with you guys. And I'll put some of Brandon's contact information in the details of the podcast. I hope that you guys are enjoying what you're hearing, man. I hope that you guys, you know, give us a great review. Share this podcast with a friend, somebody who's struggling right now. We launch a brand new audio version of this podcast every Monday morning on all the audio platforms. And we're putting up some of these episodes over on YouTube as well. So, Brandon, thank you, my brother, for joining us on the pod.
Sounds good, man. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, brother. Sounds good. Well, guys, I hope you're enjoying the content. Please share this episode with a friend, and I hope that you guys have an amazing day.